This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
What exactly of those are we celebrating today, Fred?
Oh, all sorts.
And we got great people.
Yeah.
We got great events.
Yeah. Culture.
Culture, all right.
Yeah.
And we're going to make some history?
Probably.
So what's going on out there?
Well, we want to make sure people visit us at fredandjeff.com and that they follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes. Now, Jeffrey, I don't know how you're feeling today after our 4-mile, 20-plus obstacle course run.
I feel good.
But the hard charge was yesterday, and we had Team Ronstadt out there, or Team, I guess, Fred and Jeff Show out there.
Right.
And had a good time. It was a blast.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Yes, it was. And
I have such a hard time lying to our people, though, Fred. Such a hard time. Because for all we know, both of us could be in a ditch on Sunday.
And all right, once again, you explain.
Because of my schedule.
Radio theater.
Yes, radio theater, because of my schedule. We're having to tape the show again early this week. So it's Tuesday at 12:30. We're at the Truth Studios.
General Broadcast Group.
Dragged all of our poor guests in today.
Well, better today than Sunday.
Well, yeah, because Sunday, I guarantee you both of us will be in traction somewhere.
I'll be in church.
You know what, Fred?
Hoping for a miracle.
Because I pray for you all the time. I hope that's true.
Very funny.
Dear Lord.
So, okay, so
please
fine.
Let Fred we put have the tequila down and pick up the chalice of life.
Did you see this is my firm belief.
Oh God.
That the Last Supper is not wine, it was tequila. And that the heavenly host will be comprised of a mariachi band.
The heavenly host is a mariachi band.
That is my
I like that.
My belief.
Could there be bagpipes in there too?
No. Just mariachis.
All right, so that's good. What else is going on?
Well, okay, so we'll pretend that we did hard charge and people should be
proud. No, we are doing hard charge, folks.
People should be proud of us because we did not kill ourselves. In theory, we haven't killed ourselves yet.
We hope.
So that was fun. Coming up, there's a lot of stuff coming up on next Saturday.
Yeah.
What?
Lots
what are you laughing
stuff.
About?
Lots of stuff.
So the 4th annual Dance Marathon Tucson, which is a fundraiser to benefit Beads of Courage, is happening at, excuse me, happening down at the Center for Arts and Nursing. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't have your notes.
I don't either. I'm just making this stuff up. I'll have to come back to that because I can't.
So the show prep kind of went out the window too.
Yeah, I was eating mushroom soup with Dad.
All right.
I thought it was down at the... Yeah, I was right. The University of Arizona gym. The MAC gym. University of Arizona Rec Center.
Nice.
This Saturday, April 5th, from 10 to 8 p.m., 10 in the morning till 8 p.m., they're having a dance marathon to raise money for Beads of Courage. And at 3:15, there's going to be a flash mob, which I'm too old to know what that means, but apparently it's a lot of fun. Also on April 5th is the Body Love Conference that's going on down at the Tucson Convention Center. I know it's there. I know for a fact that it's there, and that is a conference to help women love themselves for who they are. Not
I don't think it's just women. I think it's anybody, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're focusing. There's a lot of focus on women because typically women have a bigger issue with this than men. But not to say that men don't. But it's a conference to help people in general love themselves for who they are and stop. Trying to be who they see on TV and in magazines, which I think is a laudable goal.
Well, I mean, for years you've tried to be Homer Simpson. So how's that working out?
I am perfected.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Homer's given up beer, though, and just drinks tequila.
There we go. How many times can we
get cigars.
Reference tequila.
Smoke cigars. I don't know. Let's turn this radio show into a drinking game. So every time,
We don't have to.
Every time I talk about tequila and cigars, you take a drink. Every time I talk about nuns beating me when I was a child growing up in the Catholic school system, you take a drink.
Every time we talk about you being a reformed politician,
I don't talk about that at all.
No, we're going to start now.
Okay. So, So the Fred Jeff Show is now a drinking game. We want to add that to our repertoire of value to this community. A couple last things for me, Jeff. On April 13th is the event.
Silence is bad for radio.
Yeah, I know.
What are you talking about? The event. Is the Boys and Girls Club the event?
Yeah.
All right.
You thought it was like I was saying the event and then was going to say something.
Yeah, that's when we talk about the Centurion Party.
No. It's the event.
The event.
The event. So that's for supports the Boys and Girls Club. And we'll probably have some more information on that because it's just coming up a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more information on that because that is a great organization to support.
Yeah, the last thing I have is just reminding people to get their names on the OSIRIS-REx project so they can have their name fly out into the inky darkness of space and visit the asteroid Bennu.
Right, and if you want more information on the OSIRIS-REx, just go over to the to the Flandreau Planetarium because they get a cool little I guess a display on the OSIRIS-REx mission and the Bennu asteroid.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I got, which is completely low-hanging fruit, no pun intended, but the Ishkashita Refugee Network, man, they're out there gleaning fruit. So if you've got fruit on your trees that you are not going to eat, or give away to your neighbors, or have your brothers and sisters come over and pick your tree clean, give the Ishkashita folks a call because they will do amazing things with the fruit before it hits the ground. So please, please give them a call.
Yeah.
And also, I can't believe you forgot about this one, starting April 11th, so in a couple of weeks, is the Arizona International Film Festival.
Well, I guess you're
talking about stuff further beyond in April.
Well, the 13th, but we're going to have them on next week. They're coming
on. Oh, good.
They're on the show next week.
Good, good, good. So, folks, the Arizona International Film Festival, stay tuned for the next week's show because we'll have usually Mia from the Arizona International Film Festival brings some fabulous director in.
Producer, actors.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of people that have got shows, movies in the festival, and it is quickly becoming one of the go-to events in the Southwest.
Not quickly becoming, it is.
What's the 10th? It's the 23rd annual.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while.
Yes, it has.
So the Arizona International Film Festival, good times for all on that one.
Yeah, and speaking about somebody who's been around for a while, we have Michael Loria in the studio with us talking about an event coming up at the Children's Museum Tucson. Actually coming up this Saturday, Michael.
It is. Well, thanks. It's great to be here. And I do feel old at times, but I didn't quite realize I was that old and I've been around that long.
That's quite an introduction,
well,
wasn't
you know,
it?
The International Film Festival is only 23 years old, so you're not much younger or older than that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And the Children's Museum has been around a little bit longer than that, so maybe that's a good segue. Yes, this Saturday is Let's Get Fit. It's our annual health and wellness event at the Children's Museum. And the best part is it's completely free. We're open 10 to 5 that day, and come explore the museum and take advantage of all our hands-on interactive exhibits. But from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. will be Let's Get Fit. Again, it's our health and wellness fair. We'll have over 20 vendors and partners there that'll each have a tent. They'll be doing hands-on activities. They'll also be disseminating resources and information around health and fitness.
And this is for the whole family or for kids?
It is for the whole family. Obviously an emphasis on the kids, but for the whole family. There's something to do for everybody. And again, there'll be hands-on activities. We'll have a rock wall that you can go climb, all the exhibits at the Children's Museum, and all these great partners doing fabulous things.
So Jeff and I just finished a 4-mile obstacle course down in South Tucson area. So is there going to be an obstacle course we can do there?
Like, now that we're old, rural grizzled, you know, obstacle course veterans.
Yeah, we're going to create one for you so you can kind of manage your way through all the crowds at Let's Get Fit.
I love it. So, Fred, what it'll do is it'll start at the front, then run around the popcorn machine, then over to the science area.
Jump a three-year-old.
Jump over a three-year-old, right. That'll be a good one. I think we could do something good with that, Michael.
We'll have you scale the Carnegie Library, maybe. You know, do a
little that
sweet.
Would be good.
That's awesome.
Find the hidden Carnegie treasure.
I'll be the human fly up the pillars or something.
Folks, bring your fly swatter to the Arizona or to the Tucson, to the Children's Museum of Tucson. All right, what else is going on down there?
Well, you brought Daniela.
I did. Daniela is our manager of marketing and community relations, and she can tell us all the great activities that are happening.
So on Saturday, we'll have actually two obstacle courses that you guys can partake in. We have one from the U of A's bioengineering that is, you can be your own red blood cell. So you can take a journey just like a red blood cell does. And then we're going to have another obstacle course and some soccer skills. Americana from downtown Tucson, their new group downtown, and we're partnering with them this year, not only with this event, but with summer camps. So they'll be teaching some soccer drills, and they teach kids that are even 18 months old. So they start very young on their soccer drills. So they'll be able to do that.
That's young.
18
yes.
months?
18
yes.
months.
They're barely walking.
They have a little kickers program, so they'll be able to... Anyone, any age will be able to participate.
A little kick what program?
Little kickers.
Oh, I think it's a little kick what program.
So any age will be able to participate. And then the adults will be able to get their child's ID cards for their kids through New York Life.
Oh, that's
nice. So you'll
nice.
Have the hands-on for the children and then
the
kids resources.
Can drive. That's beautiful. I like it.
Now, before the show, Michael, you said you had 24-plus partners.
Absolutely.
Going into this event?
Michael,
yeah.
Pick one.
Pick one. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's so many. But you know what? One of the ones that I'm really excited to have out there is Ben's Bells.
We have
a great relationship with Ben's Bells. We love collaborating with them. And they're going to be out there setting up materials for kids and families to sculpt beads out of clay.
Oh, very cool.
You know, and you got to love the message of kindness and inclusion and all of those things. So we're excited to have Ben's Bells as well as all of our other partners.
Any big major sponsors you want to give a shout out to?
We'd love to thank the Pima County Health Department and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Those are two of our big sponsors. And
Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Yeah, Downtown Tucson Partnership. They are so engaged, obviously, in everything downtown. So we're really grateful that they're partnering with us on this event.
That's great.
Awesome. All right, real quick before we take our break, you also have the bunny rabbit showing up at the museum.
Oh, we have an Easter event. So
yeah.
Our Easter event is happening on the 19th. We'll have an egg hunt at 11 a.m., so families do get there early. Well, this year we're going to have two areas in our courtyard. So we'll have one for children 4 and under for the little ones, and then all the older kids will be able to hunt on the other side of the courtyard. And we'll
nice.
Have a lot of activities. We'll have ornament making. People will be able to make their own bunny masks. So both adults and kids will be able to play and get into the spirit of Easter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So there's tons of fun stuff going on down there.
And then not to mention, all summer long, we're going to be having all sorts of fun.
Yes. Yeah. So we have our Summer of STEAM, and STEAM Sundays will be happening. So we'll have activities covering science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics every Sunday for $2 admission.
You know, it's interesting. Last night, my wife was just saying that she's having to start looking at summer camps for our kids in February. So, folks, this is a great option. Send the kids down to the museum for fun stuff on Sundays.
Absolutely. And, you know, come down and visit us at Let's Get Fit. Again, free admission. The second Saturday of every month is a $2 admission day. So that's another way to come down and visit the museum. And it's accessible, financially speaking. And then, of course, we have STEAM Sundays that are starting in the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend and run through Labor Day weekend. So those will be $2 days every Sunday. And we'll have two partners per Sunday come in and work with us doing hands-on activities related to science, technology, engineering, arts, or mathematics.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. Fred and Jeff Show. Don't forget, the Children's Museum of Tucson will have lots more on the FredandJeff.com website, or you can go to your guys' website, and that is?
Children'sMuseumTucson.org or our Facebook page. We always post what's going on there as well.
Super fun. So like your Facebook page.
Yes.
Okay, guys. Thanks for what you're doing. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and come down and play soon.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more here on the Fred and Jeff Show.
Thank you.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's right, Fred.
And one of the things that make living in Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful
is liking us on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We're almost to about five people now.
Five. Well, I think Mom's mad at us, so she unfriended us.
So we're four. So you and me, Christy, and Dad.
We need more.
That's it.
We need more likes.
So like us on Facebook. So with us right now, one of the things that make Tucson a great place to live, work, and play are the kids from Tucson Roller Derby, Downtown Dave, and Mystery Meat. Now, Dave, you don't skate for TRD, do you?
I don't. I started off as an announcer and then became a coach.
Oh, so who do you coach?
I coach the Saddle Tramps, which is our travel team, and I coach one of the home teams, the Copper Queens.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I was. I don't know which team Mystery Meat's on, but I'm a big Vice Squad guy.
Right on.
So, anyway, but you have a huge event coming up next weekend.
Yes.
Which is the
Dust Devil Tournament.
Dust Devil Tournament. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a big roller derby tournament here in Tucson, and you know, with the flat track roller derby resurgence, 2006, Tucson was the first league in town to hold an actual tournament. And the first 2 years that we had it, you were seeded how you finished at Dust Devil. It was a little bit smaller then. There was a handful of leagues that came. Now there's over, 176?
In Wolfdale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, we're doing it again. And this will be, we did 06, 07, took a break, came back. So this will be about the fifth or sixth one we've done.
I want to say it's the sixth.
What is the outcome? What happens with the outcome of this tournament?
Well, yeah, now you should explain that because you know a little bit more about the seeding and how
year?
That works. Yeah.
Yeah, for this year, all the teams that are participating, they were seeded according to their standing with one of the ranking systems that we use for flat track. But essentially, the winner this year, they get a cash prize, and they also get, you know, the glory of being the Dust Devil Tournament champion for 2014.
So. Now, who's going to be participating in the tournament?
We've got Tucson Roller Derby, which is us, Arizona Roller Derby, which are counterparts up in Phoenix. We've got the Duke City Derby Girls from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Green Mountain Derby Dames from Vermont. Who else is coming?
Duke City.
I already said Duke City. Sin Duke City.
You're not paying attention, Dave.
Duke City.
Sin City from, where are they from?
I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're from Vegas. The Central Texas Roller Girls from Temple, Texas. And then also the Boulder City Bombers out of Colorado, along with Pikes Peak, that are from Colorado Springs.
So are these going to be all, like, traveling teams, like the Saddle Tramps or Bandoleros, or is it going to be, are we going to see Copper Queens and...
No, it's all the travel teams from the different leagues. These are their all-star teams that are registered with the Women's Flat Track Derby Association that get ranked with all the other teams that are part of that organization. So.
Okay, so if I was a betting guy, what are the odds on the Saddle Tramps taking this thing?
It's possible, for
it's
sure.
It's very possible. I think it might actually come down if all the stars align and whatnot between us and Phoenix.
We have to beat Phoenix.
That's right. That's pretty good. You know, that's a pretty good rivalry that we have there. But Sin City's pretty good. Green Mountain's pretty good. The Boulder City Bombers, they're a new team, but they've actually been playing really well lately. So there's always a chance that they could surprise some people there, too.
How often do you have the opportunity to play each other, the traveling teams across the country?
Well, as often as we can. The one thing with Tucson, geographically, we are a little bit off the beaten track, like compared to California, or imagine a team in Baltimore. You could play D.C., Philly, New York. It's all within driving distance.
Right.
But Tucson, you really pretty much have to fly here to a degree. I mean, we will drive out to California. We drove to...
New Mexico.
Yeah, Las Cruces, and played Duke City.
We've driven up to Nevada.
Yeah, we've driven up to Sin City. The thing about tournaments that's cool is you get to get your games. You know, you fly in for the weekend, but there's a chance you're going to play at least two games, maybe more. So you can, and that's how you actually get your seeding and your ranking. It's you have to play. You have to play other teams, and you know, hopefully you'll win. But as long as you don't get blown out of the water, or if you blow them out of the water, that takes into consideration where your rankings go too.
All right, so we got a couple seconds left. Tell us when, where, how much.
Yeah, the tournament's going to be April 5th and 6th, so in a couple weeks. It's at the Tucson Indoor Sports Center, used to be known as Blade World, at 1065 West Grant Road. The Saddle Tramps will play the Duke City team at 3 o'clock on Saturday, April 5th. Tickets are $15 on brown paper tickets for the entire weekend, or it's $10 each day, or at the door you're going to pay $15 each day. So you can get a weekend pass for $15 online.
And there's going to be a lot of games.
There's going to be a lot of games. There's 12 total, and you're going to see some derby. Some great derby from all across the country. So.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. All right, so we are going to be taking our next break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with some folks who help some of the helpless of our community.
So, folks, stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I think that we should get together and try them out to see. Something for me.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Howdy, everybody out there in Tucson, Arizona.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
You know what frightens me, Fred?
What's that, Jeffrey?
Drones.
And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes.
No, I'm serious. You know you can buy a four-propeller drone now for like under $200.
Yeah.
It's got a little video camera in it.
Sure.
You'd be flying that all over the
place.
But,
you know, the reality, Jeff, is that if anybody has ever been or knows a model airplane person...
Yeah.
A flying model airplane?
Yeah.
We've had drones forever.
Yeah, but those drones didn't have little 12-megapixel cameras that could take pictures or videos of you doing some stuff in your backyard.
That you knew of.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, those, you know, we have a friend.
And now all the kids in the neighborhood are going to have them.
Yeah, we had a friend who built UAVs, drones, for the Navy out of essentially model airplane pieces that you can go buy at a hobby store.
Is this the same story about the guy that had to walk to school uphill both ways?
No.
And fight off bears with a loose leaf notebook?
And then the drones came in?
Yeah.
No.
Saved his life?
No.
Okay, different story?
Not a different story. So, yeah, I mean, so that technology has existed for a long time, whether you knew about it or not.
So you're telling me I shouldn't be nervous?
No.
Okay.
Because Big Brother's always watching, Jeff.
Yeah, but that's you.
No, I guess so. So anyways, on this portion of the show is brought to you by Jeff's stupidity.
What? How mean is that?
I guess it is.
Fred, you got to get happy. You got to get nice. You got to get happy.
We should go see that Happy movie again.
We have it at home. We bought the DVD.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't pirate it?
What?
Because pirating would have made me happy.
Everyone in the studio is shaking their heads. What an idiot your brother is.
Yes, it is.
I've lived with this for my whole life. Fred, the stealer, the thief, the tequila drinker.
Oh, take a
just
shot.
Just kidding you, Fred.
All right, so in studio with us.
Just like I know you're kidding me about pirating movies. Because if you're not, I'm turning you into that thing and getting the reward.
No, I've never pirated movies that I'm aware of.
Whew.
I mean, I could have seen a pirate movie and not known it.
I saw a pirate movie.
Was it about the pirates?
It was called Treasure Island.
Oh, so it wasn't about the Pittsburgh Pirates?
No. It was about this kid named Young Jim Hawkins.
Oh, doesn't he, like, find a treasure map?
Well, kind of. See, it's a very multifaceted story. But anyhow, we have things to talk about that happened here in Tucson, right, Fred? Why are you getting me on all of these little sidetracks?
You were the one who had... I just follow your lead down the bunny hole.
So we have wonderful guests today.
Yeah, Marcy Vellen, who is the chairman of the board for No Kill Pima County, and another board member, Kim Silver. They're here to talk about this really cool program. Now, we had Marcy on a couple weeks ago to talk about an event, and she was here for seconds, and we wanted to talk to her a little bit longer about what No Kill Pima County is all about.
Thank you for having us again.
Oh, yeah. So, first of all, Marcy, let's talk about you a little bit.
Okay.
So, how did you end up in Tucson?
I came from Chicago for the usual reasons. I wanted the weather. I wanted no traffic. And back in 1975, there was no traffic here. It was a lovely little town, and I came for the mountains. And I migrated, thought I would keep moving on, and enjoyed the adventure, but I ended up staying for the rest of my life.
What is it about all of the people from Chicago that have moved to Tucson?
I don't know. It's a suburb here. It really is.
It kind of is.
To go to a Cubs game in spring training, and you felt like it was a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
They must spend a lot of money recruiting people to come to Tucson from Chicago.
Yeah, I knew one person here, that's all. And it just sounded exotic at the time.
No kidding.
Yeah, from Chicago, Tucson sounded exotic.
So were you a big High Chaparral watcher when you were a kid? Or
not at all.
You like John Wayne movies?
Not particularly.
So there's got to be a...
I don't know what it is.
It was just warmer.
Just like it was
warmer and drier.
Yeah. No snow.
That's good. I like that.
So how did you end up working your way to No Kill?
Well, my whole career has been as a social worker in child welfare. And so there's really a lot of parallels between the care we're providing. I worked in foster care and adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I've always had the same interest with animals as well as children. And a couple of years ago, I mostly retired from child welfare and decided to devote the rest of my non-career to animals. And actually, I find it just as, if not even more, dare I say, rewarding. It's really been very similar and just a field that needed a whole lot of attention in Tucson, a whole lot of attention.
So you're a cat person?
I'm a dog person.
Oh.
Where'd you get that?
Well, because on your website there's a picture of a cat.
There's a dog, a cat, a rabbit, and a mouse in that logo.
So we don't want to kill any of those folks.
Correct.
Yeah. Even the mouse? We take the mice out?
Well, I can't kill them personally.
So tell us about these parallels. I mean, foster care, is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
cat or it's a kid?
Yeah, the animal field is you know, maybe 20 years behind the child welfare field. It used to be that children were considered unadoptable. And they would grow up in institutions or they would stay in foster care when foster care came around. And when they decided that no child is unadoptable, you just need to find the family for that child, voila. I mean, we definitely need more adoptive homes. There's no question about that. There are children lingering in foster care, and we need more homes. But in some parts of this country, there's actually a waiting list to adopt a Down syndrome kid, for example.
No kidding.
Down syndrome kids are really loving, and there's certain people that just thrive. That's like their vocation. They just thrive on raising Down syndrome children, whereas they used to be, you know, labeled and stigmatized
and put in an institution,
to Tucson when I first moved here, that was all residential facilities for mentally challenged people of all kinds, and you know, now they're not.
We're huge fans of Special Olympics here.
Yeah,
love the Special Olympics. Matter of fact, when I was a kid in high school, I was a summer camp counselor at the Y, and one of the kids that I got to spend several summers with was a young man my same age who had Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid was amazing. I mean, here it is 34 years later, and I still remember him like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. They give you everything. You are their everything that moment. There's nothing in the world more important than you when you're with those kids.
Yeah.
It's an amazing relationship.
They're special. I mean, absolutely. They really are.
Special in a great way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great.
That's one of the real obvious to me parallels is that when we started this, there were animals being labeled not adoptable in our community.
Would an animal be labeled non adoptable?
Just for being sick.
Okay.
I mean, it could even be just kennel cough, and we, you know, it's just such a common treatable illness. And animals with any special need, what we call special needs with children, mm-hmm. that's what we're reframing it all to be. They're all adoptable. Some have special needs. And that's one of the changes we actually have seen and achieved in Pima County in the last, like, even 6 months, is throwing out that term, here's the adoptable ones, here's the non-adoptable ones, or the less desirable ones, and mingling them together and putting them out there for everybody. When you fall in love, you fall in love. You know, and especially minor or treatable illnesses or injuries is not going to stop most people who find an animal that they're interested in. So they don't need to be sentenced.
That's an interesting way to put that. They don't need to be sentenced. They need to be saved.
Yeah.
And so just relabeling these little fellas non-sick to, hey, we can cure you and let's find you a good home.
Exactly.
That makes that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Now, how many animals are we talking about a year?
Well, in 2013, which is the last time I collected data, there was about 21,000 live animals that came to the shelter.
And we're talking strictly dogs, cats?
I'm just counting the dogs and the cats.
Oh, wow. 21.
Because there are assortment of other animals that
right.
they pick up,
ferrets
too.
And turtles
right.
and parrots.
Right.
And yeah. guinea pigs and the other, know, all the dogs, all the other bunnies. We, you know, if we had more time, we'd tell you about Fred's
no, we would not.
Story of getting an Easter bunny.
No, it was our it's our story. Story that we both got an Easter bunny.
I remember it a different way. So anyhow, back to you. So, so that's amazing work you guys do. And it's just the two of you.
No, it's not just the two of us. It takes a community.
It takes a village to save an animal.
I was going to try not to use that.
Well, that's all right. Is that a copyright infringement or something?
No. But we are, I mean, our board has just 5 people, but we have lots of volunteers, and our first mission was really just to raise awareness in the community about what's happening, because no one's going to be interested in fixing it if they don't even realize that at the time when we started, which was just 19 months ago, more than half of the animals were being put down that came into our county shelter. Mm. And so people just didn't know. I mean, literally, people were thinking bringing their animal there was the best they could do for them. They'll get adopted or you know, just may not have realized that it was 50-50 odds of whether they would even make it out.
Well, so, the odds are that great, 50-50?
Well, at the time, and it is actually really improving.
Well, let's take a step back, because this number, you know, 20,000 plus, is that at any one time?
A year. And actually at the time, the first year we looked at the data, it was closer to 24,000. So even the numbers coming in are going down, but I don't suspect that will stay
so,
the same.
So really, like the low 20,000 mm-hmm. Figure, a year.
Right.
And then that sort of resets in January, and then...
Yes.
So every year we're talking about a separate group of 20,000 yeah. animals.
And their fiscal year is July, but I look. It, but no matter what,
it doesn't matter.
Where
12,
you break
any,
it
any,
off,
any 12,
yes.
Any 12-month Who, period.
Who's they?
The county.
Okay.
Pima
so
Animal
this,
Care Center.
This is only Pima County that we're talking about? It's nobody else? I mean, none of the other agencies in town that deal with animals?
Our goal is that the whole community save the savable.
Okay.
And Humane Society is doing much better than they were a couple of years ago. They're doing better than the county shelter is. We've been focusing on the county shelter because that belongs to the people.
Right.
Well, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, I think we need to spend some time talking about the process. I mean, how does this machine work, and how are you making things better over the course of the last 18 months and what you see for the future? Okay. So we'll take a break, our last break of the hour. When
That's
we come
right.
back, we'll be talking more about not killing animals in Pima County.
And what Fred did to his Easter bunny right here on The Fred Jeff Show.
The beans got new skank. Sorry, got something.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Yeah, what? And, hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make a living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's right, Fred.
Before the break, we're talking to...
Before, I got a question, though, that'll help us with the balance of the show, Fred.
Okay.
So, Fred, when you have an animal, a pet.
Yes.
A pet. And it's an animal that you love. It was maybe given to you in the spirit of kindness. And how should you treat that animal, Fred? What lesson are there that the children listening to the show could take from you on how you should treat that helpless little bunny rabbit?
All right. Let me help expand that question a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think it's an important question that you asked, Jeffrey. But I think it should be rephrased, retooled a little bit in this way. What should we tell parents about giving their small children cute little bunnies during the Easter season? Or cute little chicks during
Don't
the Easter season? Or cute little anything during any holiday?
Don't do it.
Okay.
Please.
So let's start.
Because what happened is those children grow up to be 50-year-old men having nightmares about screeching bunnies, and it's not good. So please, folks, do not give small animals to small children, because invariably it scars them for life. Here we are on the show today with our friends.
So, you know, I have a thing about nuns being beaten by nuns. You have a thing about bunny rabbits.
What you did to that bunny rabbit, Fred?
It was you.
No, Fred, it was you.
So we're talking to Marcy Vellen and Kim Silver from No Kill Pima County.
Right.
And we were talking about how these animals in our community who were labeled non-adoptable or unadoptable, they're changing the paradigm for people to think about these animals differently and get more of these animals rescued. Now, before the break, I really want to understand how was the system working? How was it broken when you started taking a look at it and saying, you know, the system is failing these creatures. How can we help? So help us with the process. So either the dog pound comes and picks them up off the street.
Well, here, let me
ask
you a
question. Or they get turned
in. We're at a point in our family where we can't keep our family dog. And we take the dog to the Humane Society or to Pima County. We'll talk about Pima County in hopes that a great family will show up and take our dog and give them a great home. What information do I get when I show up down there? And what am I led to believe when I walk out the door?
Well, it's changing.
Okay.
And when we started, what we had in mind was a model. There's a national model. The No Kill Pima County is based on a model that you could find at No Kill Nation, the Advocacy Center and website. And they produce free materials, and it's based on Nathan Winograd's experience, a specific person who put together a structure that's successfully saved over 90% of the animals in a shelter. And to me, it was really just common sense. It's these 11 components.
So on your website,
right,
you actually have the model,
right,
where folks can go and see. But let's.
So the idea is, if you look at these 11 components, you can assess any shelter by the strengths and weaknesses or challenges by each one of those categories.
And are any of these categories completely off the chart, out of the question, can't afford to do it, crazy things that shelters wouldn't want to do or would fight people, you know, to do?
Actually, many of them don't cost any money at all, which is the thing that we've been trying to drive home to Pima Animal Care and people in the community, that if everybody rallies behind, and a lot of them, 10 of them actually, are just programs and services. The 11th component is actually leadership. So the shelter does have to buy into all of these different programs and services. But when we're talking about, like moments ago, we're talking about foster care, that's really just community volunteers, people stepping forward saying, I'll take that animal into my home that has an upper respiratory infection, and I'm going to help it find its new forever home.
So let's talk about these ideas. Let's talk about these 11 ideas. What does it start with?
It starts with trap, neuter, return for feral cats.
Trap, neuter, and then return a feral cat.
Yes. So there's actually traps that are made specifically to capture small animals like cats. So you set up the traps, you capture them, you take them to a clinic, you neuter them, tip their ear so that people who find them next time know that they've been neutered, and return them back to their environment.
Okay. And a feral cat's not causing anybody any harm.
No.
So as long as they're not creating lots and lots and lots of other feral cats, no problem.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Very true.
Number two?
Number two is high volume, low cost spay neuter. We have a partnership with Tucson Cares and Spay Neuter Solution called SNIP, the Spay Neuter Intervention Project, which is raising money to spay neuter dogs and cats in Pima County, which is pretty cool.
Now, I've got something completely off the... Did you know the number one time for men to get a vasectomy is during the NC2A tournament?
I just recently heard that myself.
It's
yes.
true. It's true. Did you know that, Fred?
I did not.
Okay, back to you.
Are you, like, divulging information about your
no,
future?
No, but I'm kind of giving you an idea of what I might be doing next year.
Oh.
Because think about it. All that time watching basketball games.
Are they going to snip your ear afterwards, too?
Only if my wife wants them to.
Oh.
So what else you got?
We have rescue groups, which is actually a pretty strong piece of the component here in Pima County. We have a lot of great rescue groups. And what they do is they go into the shelter and pull animals that are in need of medical care or behavior rehabilitation. They place them with foster homes, and then they take them to places like PetSmart and Petco and Ace Hardwares and do offsite adoptions to try to find them homes.
Okay, so the one question I have at this point is if we were to adopt a dog or a cat or a pet, and that pet had some sort of an ailment, where am I paying for that cat or that pet to go to a veterinarian to get fixed? Or is there, how does that piece work?
Are you asking if you go to Pima Animal Care, for example, to adopt a pet,
right,
and it's ill?
Or I'm foster caring for a pet.
If you're fostering, the rescue actually pays for all of the expenses.
Perfect.
So the foster doesn't have to pay for anything.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So it's
aside
no...
from, like, food and...
Most rescues will actually pay for the food as well. If
wow.
you need any crates or any sort of care for the animal in the home, they will provide that.
So a foster... is just providing a space.
Shelter and love
and yeah.
compassion,
and,
yes.
And do you hope that those fosters turn into the permanent homes?
No, we don't, because we want
really?
Them to foster again.
Ah.
So we, you know, it does happen. We call those foster failures. I'm one of them. I think many of us are proud to be foster failures because we love our animals, but we do want people to have the space available in their home to take in more fosters.
And what's the perfect home look like?
The perfect home, really, people can have full-time jobs. We don't expect people to be home all day taking care of animals. They just have to have a secure yard where the animal can't escape and just have care and compassion for animals. It's really as simple as that.
You know, if it's a cat, and I did say I was a dog person, but one of the most interesting things I learned about cats along the way is if you even have a spare bathroom, that is giving that cat, and cats have it the worst when it comes to the save rate in any shelter. That's giving a cat a chance at life, and it's a thousand times big. Well, maybe that not a thousand, but it's hundreds of times bigger than the cage that they're kept at
right.
in a shelter. So it really as little as a bathroom.
So I want to kind of cut to the chase right here, because what is it that our listeners can do to help support you guys?
Gosh, there's so much they can do.
Let's hear it.
First, if they want to get involved, they can go to our website, nokillpimacounty.org, where we have all the components of the equation that is working in over 230 communities across the United States. It's very a successful model. So it spells it out on there, and there is something for everybody to do. We actually have, we call them task forces, but they're projects. We've got spay-neuter, as a project. We've got foster rescue as a project. We've got public relations and marketing. And we've got owner retention, trying to keep pets in their homes. So we have committees that are working on all of these things. We're trying to work with the shelter to develop a help desk, for example. So if somebody comes to the shelter and wants to surrender their animal, we'll have volunteers there who will talk to them about the reasons why and see if there's solutions that maybe they didn't know about. They lost their job and they can't afford to feed their pet, and we have resources for them.
Excellent. What else?
To volunteer.
To donate.
They can donate money to...
Chicago here had to remind you about the money, right?
You know, just speaking of the help desk, I mean, there's successful programs that average something like $50 a case. That really makes the difference between an animal needing to be in the shelter or being able to stay with their owner.
And how is that possible?
It's just an average. Sometimes it's just a pet deposit at their apartment. Someone doesn't think they have any options, so for $150, they feel like they're forced to go to the shelter with their animal or they're going to be homeless. And it's just a matter of having the community involved to support something like that, where it's worth $150 for somebody really wants to keep their animal but didn't think they had any choice because the money was demanded within, you know, X hours or something.
It sounds to me like the number one thing for you guys is education, education, education.
Yes.
Communicating all of these things that you're trying to get out into the public. A couple of bucks, some very nice folks to take some of these animals in for a short period of time as they find new homes. Where can folks go to get more information?
NoKillPimaCounty.org.
Awesome.
And they can contact us directly on the website. We'll, you know, by email, and we'll get in touch with them.
Awesome. Thanks, ladies. Thanks for what you guys do. We really appreciate it. Fred, should we give something away?
Yeah, let's give away a dozen roses from our friends, the Coleman family at Mayfield Forest.
Right in time for Easter.
That's right. So first person to email me at fred@fredandjeff.com, get a dozen roses from Mayfield Forest.
Perfect. All right, folks. We'll be back again next week with the Arizona International Film Festival. So come back to us, 11 a.m., 104.1. See you next week. Dear rabbit, little boy blue, hidden in the brush.